Welcome to Signs of Life, exploring survival of consciousness. Brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation on the web at www.foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
I can feel you like an ocean that won't seem to let me go.
Hello and welcome to Signs of Life Radio. Happy New Year, everybody. The number here is 1-888-627-6008. This is the gathering edition of Signs of Life Radio, and the usual is here, which is I'm Bob Ginsberg, and I'm joined by Tom and Melissa Gould and Fran Ginsberg. And hello, everybody.
Hello, Bob.
Hello, Bob.
And we would like to all wish our listeners a very prosperous and healthy new year. Tonight's topic, we're going to discuss a really interesting survey that many of you probably participated in. We got almost 1,000 responses. We took a survey about how people feel about after-death communication and things that go along with it. We were asking about their religious beliefs and the types of communications that they get, and meditation and mediumship. So a lot of good stuff. As I mentioned, the number here, if you'd like to join us, is 1-888-627-6008. And tonight's sponsor of the radio show is LNR Productions, and you could find them on the web at lnrproductions.com. And you know, before we get started, did anybody see the afterlife video by Ben Breedlove? It was on the internet and on YouTube.
With little index cards that he held instead of speaking through the whole YouTube thing, he's just holding up 3x5s.
Yes, a young man that unfortunately had a vibrant life, but he was ill. He had a serious heart condition, and he had several near-death experiences, growing up. And he made this video about a week before he passed away. He passed away on Christmas Day, but he was holding up video cards, and he was describing moving into or being enveloped in a white light and not wanting to come back and being upset, that he came back, from this other world that he traveled to. We've heard that before, haven't we?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. But it was a real moving video. This survey, as I mentioned, is something that we did. It's not a scientific survey because we didn't have the controls in place, but nevertheless, the results are pretty interesting. And what we did is we invited we had it up on our website, and we sent it out in our newsletter, and whoever wished to participate, it was a short, 10 questions went on, and they started talking. So I guess we can go through, some of the questions, and we welcome people calling in. And why don't we take a call right off the bat?
Okay. Well, we have Dr. John Turner, who happens to also be on our board. He's online, too.
And Dr. Turner in the flesh.
Well, hello, everyone. It's so good to hear your voices again.
Hello.
Hello, and how are you? So we're freezing here.
Oh, that's great. And today's topic just fits in with what I've been engaged in now. I don't know if you're aware of the conference coming up in Phoenix, April 13th to 15th. It's the first international conference on after-death communication. So I was fortunate to be one of the speakers along with Larry Dossey and others. So this is just perfect timing for me to learn more about this.
Well, I was a little bit surprised, at the results. Obviously, it wasn't scientific, and we have to assume that many of the people that would, hit upon our website may not be characteristic of the general population. But nonetheless, I mean, you know, Dr. Turner, the first thing that we asked people to characterize their belief that consciousness survives physical death. We asked them to rate it as either a very strong believer, a strong believer, or open to the possibility, or did not believe. Well, you know, the results of the survey were 66% responded they were a very strong believer, 21% characterized themselves as being a strong believer, and 12% were open to the possibility. That leaves just 1% that didn't believe. So 99% were either open to the possibility or had a strong belief. So I that was a little bit surprising to me. I don't know about you, Dr. Turner, but I mean, would you guess that in general, more of the population than not, you know, believes in survival?
I would say that it seems, as I recall, recent studies show that about 18% of the American population does not subscribe to any religious belief, therefore probably not, ascribing to any type of afterlife. However, at least half of the people seem to believe there is something that continues. They've had some kind of contact with loved ones or friends who have passed on. So I think these figures may be a little bit on the high end, but I think 50% is more like it.
Yeah, and, the other, we'll be going through a lot of the questions tonight, some things that I found a little bit surprising is that in a survey question we asked about the types of after-death communication that people have, and a whopping 73% reported having a dream where they were visited by a deceased person. And, of course, you're familiar with such phenomena. I mean, it seems that that may be one of the best ways of an entity of consciousness and spirit of communicating with loved ones in the physical. And that's a subject that's not foreign to you. I know that you've done a lot of research in energy healing and the mind-body question. So I don't imagine that that's too much of a surprise to you.
Not really. And, you know, I've been a big fan of Jane Roberts and her Education of Oversoul 7 and the Future Education of Oversoul 7. Mm. And, you know, after reading those, I wondered, were these works of fiction or fact? Because probably this is the way it all works. This dream contact is the way we're learning. And the deeper I go in this, the more this is becoming clear to me as the way this kind of works, and through meditation also.
And for those of our listeners that may not be familiar with Dr. Turner, Dr. Turner is a neurosurgeon who practiced in Hawaii for many years, and he has a lot of accomplishments, but the thing that's most impressive to me about you, Dr. Turner, is that you were open-minded enough and smart enough to incorporate other modes of healing into your practice. And specifically, the way that you even had Joe Ray healers in your operating theater as you were performing surgery. That, to me, is I was very struck when I read that. And certainly, you must have initially taken some criticism for that.
Well, thank you, Bob. But the Joe Ray healer in the operating room was me. I was the one giving the Joe Ray, which is a form of energy healing. And
okay,
I guess I was able to do this without the criticism for several reasons. Number one, being Hawaii, very much open to aloha spirit, which has a lot to do with love and tenderness and helping. But also, being the only game in town, meaning I was the only neurosurgeon on the whole island, I wasn't really criticized for anything. They wanted to see the results, and they saw the results of people getting better, so it was just a perfect place to be for that.
So I know you mentioned you'll be speaking at the conference. Are you doing any more writing? Are you working on another book?
Well, yes and no. I had planned to do that, as Dr. Eldon Taylor gave me the title of Beyond a Reasonable Doubt. He had planned to write on the afterlife. But after he changed his mind, he thought I could take this over, and this was going to be my next book project. However, things have come up. I recently returned from Brazil to see John of God for 2 weeks. And after that experience, I see more about the spiritual nature of how things work. And right now I'm more interested in writing to actually perform this and to be a medium and to be in touch with the spiritual world. That's how it all started for me years ago anyway. And now it's finally coming a full circle, and I'm able to finally say that this is starting to happen.
Mm.
So writing a book now is not so much of interest to me. I have so much to learn, so I'm really taking this time and this energy I have to really get deep with this and try to understand it.
Yeah. Well, we look forward to learning more. I really appreciate your calling in, and I hope that you'll join us as a regular spot on the show soon.
Oh, well, thank you very much. My pleasure, and I'll be interested in listening to the rest of your discussion.
Thanks, Dr. Turner. Take care and have a happy new year.
All right. Okay. Thank you, sir.
Good night. Well, you know, we mentioned briefly when we asked these questions about after-death communication. I mean, I'll ask the panel here. I mean, does that surprise you that 73% people said they've had a dream visit of some type? Melissa?
Well, again, since you said that the people who responded to this poll are people who check in at our website, so they're probably looking for explanations to what they've experienced. So had it been, you know, a broader population of folks,
right,
I guess I would be very surprised. But given the people that are interested enough to go to your website to begin with, I guess that does not surprise me.
And I've heard the question as being, are you surprised that it's the dream communication over all the rest? For the people who have received communication, and that actually does not surprise me either, because it probably, you know, we've heard time and time again of people who get signs while they're awake and dismiss them right away as coincidence or, wow, isn't that something weird or something like that, and then they move on not knowing that they've gotten their communication. Whereas when you're asleep, those guards come down and then, of course, the nature of a visitation in a dream is, you know, which I have experienced, and I've certainly heard the description from many people talking about it, is the major thing is it's vivid, and you remember it clearly for days, weeks, months even, and that I've found to be true. So I don't see that as unexpected, that the dream would be the first place and the most vivid place that you would get a communication.
Yeah, and like I've often said, I mean, I get dream visits, and I've said jokingly, but it's true, that I'm useless when I'm conscious, but, you know, I get a lot of information when I'm unconscious, you know, and that maybe there are a lot of people like me that, you know, have some sort of a block-up, or maybe there are areas in the brain that filter out such communication when we're conscious, and the filters are off when we're unconscious. I mean, who knows?
Well, isn't that where the adage comes from that says, "Let me sleep on it"?
Yeah.
When you're pondering a problem.
Right. Yeah. Now, I mean, some of the other things that were reported, 63% roughly reported having a sense of presence from someone who was deceased. Now, that's a pretty broad area, sense of presence could be a lot of things. I guess typically it's when people, how would you describe it, when people feel that their loved ones are around them, right? I mean, is that how you would describe a sense of presence?
I was trying to describe that to you earlier today.
Yeah,
it's
right.
Like when I'm in a room and you're in a room with me, there's a sense, even if you're behind me, that you're in the room. And so that it's that same sensation that you're getting, except there's nobody physically that you can see in the room, but you have that sensation that the room is being occupied along with you.
Right. And we know, you know, a lot of the modern-day researchers, like Dr. Dean Radin, who does the presentiment experiments and, you know, intention and things of that nature, and when people, it's the same thing, you know, people sense somebody staring at them,
feeling that somebody's going to call on the phone, things of that nature, and who knows the nature of time, and everything seems to be happening at once. So that's pretty broad. We had, going down the list, just so our listeners would know, we had roughly 45% reported directly smelling an unexplained scent that was associated with someone deceased. And we know what that's about. You know, dad smoked a cigar, mom wore a specific perfume, and so forth. And so, those smells is not surprising. 43% reported witnessing some unexplained physical manifestation. And what we really meant by that was, keys moving, the glass not where they left it, things of that nature. So
that's kind of a high percentage then.
I think so, 43%.
I would have thought like 10%.
But a physical manifestation could also be the phone ringing, or an electronic, it's subject open to interpretation. We asked about people that reported receiving a very specific piece of information communicated through a medium. 43% answered to that. 38% reported feeling the touch of someone who was deceased. When I give these percentages, people were able to, of course, check off more than one. That's why you have all these numbers. 33% reported receiving a direct telepathic message from a deceased entity. So by direct, we mean not through a medium. They got a telepathic message that could be through a dream or from somebody in the spirit world. Doesn't necessarily have to be in a dream. So that was interesting. 27.7% reported visually seeing a deceased entity. That's pretty high. And we weren't specific enough in that because I don't know whether they meant in a dream, because it didn't say a non-dream. So,
well, you wrote visually.
Visually seeing, is what I was, I wasn't, maybe we weren't really specific, but I would think that I was referring like when people say they see ghosts, so 27% would be a pretty high number.
Under the same umbrella when you're down in the mall and you're walking across and somebody passes by and looks just like somebody and you go, wow, maybe that they think that they're seeing.
Well, that's been explained as the
transfiguration.
So, you did see someone. I would say that counts.
Yeah.
And I don't think 27 is a high number, having seen deceased people myself.
Right. I'm on the other side of it. A lot of these that are high percentages, I haven't experienced yet. So, that's where these discussions come from. If you've experienced it, the light's on.
Right.
And if you haven't experienced it, you can't imagine the light being on.
Right.
So it's weird.
25% reported directly hearing the voice from the deceased without the use of electronics, hearing a voice. The other one was, a telepathic message. 10.2% have had a near-death experience.
That sounds high, too. Really? I guess they go for answers to the website, and then they see your poll.
I don't know, as a general, in the general population, it's not real high.
Would the numbers be? 10%, that would be 1 in 100.
Yeah.
It's 1 in 10.
1 in 10, right.
1 in 10. So there are four of us here, and none of us.
No, but we're only four, so it's,
let's call some people.
9.3% reported hearing the voice of a deceased via electronic means, so that's EVP, really. That's 9%, so I thought that was high. And 7.1% reported never experiencing any type of after-death communication, only 7%. And by the way, I don't know if I mentioned at the top, we had the survey open for, was it a two-month period, Fran?
Yeah.
2 months, and we stopped it after 2 months.
Yeah, from September through November.
We had 965 responses, so it's a fairly robust sample, and it just shows you the interest that people have in these things.
And I just have to say, because when we launched the survey, almost immediately, within a couple of hours, we had a couple of hundred responses.
Right.
Wow.
So,
well, before we go on to the next category, you want to take another call?
Yes, let's take Marianne from Georgia. She's on line three.
Hi, Marianne.
Hi, Marianne. There.
Hi, you're on Signs of Life. How are you?
I'm fine, and I'm 83 years old. My husband passed 8 years ago, telling me that anything that survived the death of his brain was stupidity on my part. However, I said to him, "Well, if you can, if you do know anything after you've passed, stay around me and let me know." And he stayed for at least 5 years, all of the time. My granddaughter saw him in the room while I was in the room with her, and I didn't see him at all.
Wow.
Okay.
To me, that seems strange, but she said she described what he was wearing. I said to her, "Did he look like he was sick?" And she said, "No." She said he had on a black turtleneck shirt and black pants, and he walked past the china cabinet and looked out the dining room window, and then he came back, and I thought he came down the hall, and I thought he was here in the kitchen with you. And I said, "Well, I don't know why you can see him and I can't." And she said, "I don't know either, because he's standing right over there looking at you."
Yeah. Well, it's not unusual, and we, you know, science really doesn't know why, you know, some people can, you know, have this resonance to be able to do it and some don't. You know, sometimes it is a shared experience where both people can see. But my other thought was that it wasn't that wonderful. You pretty much gave him the orders to stick around, and he wouldn't cross you, so he did.
I know. So many things happened, and I would say, if that was you, do something else, because I'm not really sure. Like everybody said, "Oh, you'll find so much money laying around, pennies and stuff." Well, yeah. It was, and finally, I got tired of picking them all up, and I said, "Richard, if you're doing this, let me know for sure. Put two of them together, heads up, the next time, and then I'll know that it was you." And I went into my bathroom, and right in front of my vanity were two pennies on the floor face up.
Oh, yeah. I love it.
You know, I love it that you, there's a little scientist in you, and you were asking for evidence, you know?
Yeah. And putting out the intent.
Yeah.
We're doing all the right.
Yeah.
I don't hear much from him anymore, but then he's been gone 8 years. He must have found something interesting to do in this
time. I'm sure.
May I ask you, Marianne? This is Melissa. You said the 5 years. I know there's no time limit to somebody grieving, but I know things for some people seem to get a little better after the 5 year mark. I don't know whether you were anticipating his death and so you were able to accept it a little more easily, or if you felt you were in, a greater stage of grief those initial years, and then maybe as you didn't need his presence as much, he kind of moved on a little bit, or do you not feel that way?
Well, I gave him permission to do that. My husband and I had a lot of unfinished business between us, and we had a lot of things to settle, and it took a long time. And yes, I still have a problem with grieving, but I am able to go without crying all the time. Once I was able to do that, I told him, "You know, I understand better what happened between us now, and so if you have other things that you want to do, you don't have to stay with me all the time. Just come back once in a while and let me know that you're still thinking about me." and the smoke alarm above my bed rang three times, and I don't hear him much anymore.
Yeah, I was curious.
Once in a while.
How old was your granddaughter when she saw him?
She was six.
Yeah. They say that children, of course, are more receptive, and they haven't gotten the blocks put up that all of us seem to have after living in society for a long time, and that's one explanation when you say, why can she see it and you can't? She hasn't learned that you're not supposed to see things, and, you know, people haven't told her enough times that, oh, you're just seeing things, and that don't be silly, so it's great.
Because I really believed in it, I thought I would be able to see him, but I couldn't.
I think that's how we feel. Yeah. We're believers. So how come just us in this group aren't seeing more? I guess being a believer isn't enough.
Yeah.
Maybe we have to just calm ourselves.
I guess it isn't, no.
Well, there's, from some of the mediums that I've spoken to who trained themselves to be able to communicate there, it is a process, and it takes a lot of sacrifice on your part and a lot of meditation and repetitive day-to-day attention to it that supposedly we all have the ability in us if we put in the time to practice. I've also heard it said that it's seeing and communicating with spirit is kind of like playing a violin. You know, anybody can pick up a violin, but only a few people can really make it sound like music, and yet if you really wanted to play the violin and you put in the time, you'd be able to. So it's something akin to that. That if you really wanted to communicate and you practice every day, you could get there. But personally, I mean, I'm intrigued by it, but I don't have the discipline to do the work.
Well, thank you.
Richard and I were very good at telepathy from the time we were first married. Like, if one of us would go to the store 3 miles away and the other one would think of something they wanted brought, they'd just think of it real hard and we'd come with it. But we were always pretty good at that. So we stay connected. Not as well as I would like to be, but I'll be there soon myself, and then I'll come back and tell you guys what it's all like.
Aww, I hope you do.
I appreciate that.
Keep the phone number.
Thanks for calling, and we'll have a good new year.
You're welcome, and thank you so much.
Take care. Bye-bye.
That was sweet.
Yeah.
Well, listening to all these people, and we forgot to take a few breaks. So let's go to break, and then we come back. We have a lot more to talk about after-death communication. So stay with us, and we'll be back in a few.
I had a spirit call in on it.
Has your marketing pitch been missing the strike zone? Maybe you need a new player to help your marketing efforts. At LNRProductions.com, you'll find a team that can give your broadcast advertising the winning edge. L&R Productions has produced award-winning jingles, radio and television commercials for many businesses just like yours. Radio and television advertising work, but you need the right game plan. Make sure you're getting the most out of your ad every time it airs. www.LNRProductions.com. We'll throw strikes for your business every time.
Suzanne Goode, an award-winning certified professional and master photographer, is the owner of Goode Photography, a studio located in Long Island, New York for 25 years. She has devoted herself to creating timeless portraits and virtual paintings that capture the essence of a person in one single moment, forever lasting. She can use your photograph of a loved one or pet and transform it into a watercolor or canvas painting. You can view her work and email on her website, www.goodphotography.com.
Mm-hmm. When grieving the loss of a loved one, sometimes a hug is just what you need. Hugs from Heaven are lightly weighted shoulder wraps that are made from the fabric of your loved one's clothing. Your clothing can also be made into memory pillows and sachets. Each Hugs from Heaven is handmade with loving care and is as unique as your loved one's spirit. Visit us at hugsfromheaven.com. That's Hugs, spelled with a Z, from heaven.com. Who couldn't use a hug?
I would like to introduce you to the Forever Family Foundation, a nonprofit organization whose mission is to provide a forum where individuals and families who have suffered the loss of a loved one can turn for support, information, and hope. We believe in the continuity of the family, even though a member has left the physical world. The Forever Family Foundation is a joint effort of scientists, research mediums, and interested people who support the premise that life does not end with physical death. We wish to prove that the bond of the family cannot be broken even by death. We invite anyone who's trying to cope with the loss of a loved one to contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707. That's 631-425-7707. Or you can find us on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
Welcome back to Signs of Life, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation.
Welcome back to the Gathering edition of Signs of Life Radio. The number here is 1-888-627-6008, and we welcome your calls. We are talking about the results of the after-death communication survey. I'll tell you one thing, that the biggest surprise that I don't understand in this whole survey, if you just look at question number 10 that we asked, and I'm talking to the panel here now. We asked the question, given the choice, which type of communication from a deceased loved one would they prefer? And there were two choices. A direct communication, in other words, directly from the loved one in spirit, or communication through a medium. Now, in my way of thinking, I would expect 100% to say, you know, a direct communication, but yet almost 26% of the people responded that they would prefer to have communication through a medium rather than get it directly. You know, 73% said, you know, direct communication, 26% said through a medium, and 1% said they weren't interested in getting in communicating with the dead at all, you know.
Well, part of that's fear.
Yeah.
Religious fear.
Right.
And do you think that's why they answered 26% said they'd rather get it through a medium?
Absolutely.
I think absolutely.
Because sometimes late at night when I'm feeling spiritual, I'm thinking this, and I'm thinking, okay, you know, I've been open to it for how long, and I've been inviting it even, and what if all of a sudden, they're right there, and it's like, whoa, might be take you aback and might not be pleasant as you thought.
I think they know. If it would, and they come on the level of which they will not frighten you, they will not knock you off your...
To a point, I mean, but I also, I've read Janet Mayer's book, and I've talked to Laura Lynn Jackson.
Right, but these are mediums.
Well, they are mediums, but
right. They
talk about their first impressions, or their first communications were spirit... showing him horrible accidents and
Janet's first experience was her father standing in front of her door, and she saw right through him.
Yeah.
And the odd thing was that her father wasn't really standing in front of the door.
And he wasn't passed either.
Right. So how do we even explain that?
Yeah,
unless we move into the concepts of Kabbalah that says that your soul has many, many parts to it and can be in many places at once.
Right, which is consistent with Seth. And also, when it hit a chord when Dr. Turner was calling in, and he says, well, you know, I've read the Jane Roberts, which, of course, she's the one who channeled Seth, and you think, well, and I've heard the recordings of her, and all of a sudden she's in a funny voice, and she's communicating, and you think to yourself, how do you, you know, you could just easily just do this, and how do you know? And I think the thing is, okay, you take that one instance, you believe or you don't believe, you put that aside, and you just take what is said on face value, and then you read something else, and then, they're saying the same thing.
Right.
And then you read something else, and, there's this. And you see a piece together the common threads, and that's where you come up with your own belief.
Right. And I think what Dr. Turner was alluding to with Jane Roberts was the fact that she did it so many years ago when it wasn't on anybody's agenda like it is today. Oh, let me do that. I'll be on Oprah. I'll do that. There was no big TV shows.
Right.
You weren't going on TV. And, in fact, if you spoke about this stuff, you were probably going to be burned at a stake or something like that. So she had nothing to achieve by sharing that she had these experiences. And that alone tells me that you got to give it some weight there.
Let me ask you this. One thing I thought of when 26% answered they'd rather have the communication through a medium was that perhaps that they felt that they wouldn't necessarily trust the information if they got it themselves.
That's what I felt.
You feel the same way, Melissa? And that if it came through a professional, so to speak, like a medium, then they could trust the information. So that may be part of it.
Wait, but I have a question.
You'd know what they're trying to tell you more than, I see the lights flickering. What are you trying to say? What are you trying to say? I can't understand. Whereas if a medium's sitting here, they're trying to tell you that they're this, and, you know, and it's a more reliable source, I guess.
By the way, Tom, before you go on off, I think the lights that are flickering in the studio is a bad bulb. So
okay.
I wanted to ask Melissa, though, have you ever heard a voice outside of your...
Well, that's what... because I feel like I hear a voice, but again, am I imagining it? You know, I want to believe.
Okay, so you're not 100% a believer. Okay, I hear voices.
I don't know if it's my mind. It's not like I don't believe. I just don't know if it's coming
from... It is your mind. It's not your brain.
Ah. So, I'm not... I wasn't saying I agreed that I would prefer to hear from a medium. I was agreeing that people may feel that way.
Right, and I was just trying to get where your line of reference came from.
I felt that way.
But the fact that you're doubting whether when you hear a voice, it's real or not, will feed into your opinion upon that. Whereas my feeling that when I hear a voice, it is a voice, also feeds into my opinion on that. It's just my opinion's different than your opinion.
Yeah. That's a good question.
Well, you know, getting back to... The survey, some people were asked, although everybody was asked, those who have experienced after-death communication, how often do you receive an after-death communication? And that's all the previous categories that we mentioned, the dreams, the smelling, the presence and the bit. So almost 43% responded occasionally, and that's what I think I would have expected. 23% responded rarely. 18% responded often, and 15% responded very often. So I guess that's, you know, there's nothing shocking there. What you might find interesting there is that in the first question, we found that 97% of the people were either open to a belief in survival or a strong believer in it. That was 97%. But yet, in this question... we find that about 66% have had after-death communication rarely or occasionally. So even though 66% get it rarely or occasionally, 97% still believed, in afterlife. So that may be because of religion might come into that, but. I just found that a little bit striking, But I don't think any of those numbers are too surprising. Did anybody here want to comment on that? 43% saying they responded occasionally. Is that what you would expect?
Yeah.
Pretty much in line. Now, we asked responders to characterize their observance of formal formal religion, question number four. 43.2% answered that they considered themselves to be spiritual, but did not practice any formal religion. It's interesting. You know, that's a fairly high percentage. 21% described that they had a very relaxed observance of a formal religion. 21.6 described a moderate observance of a formal religion. 9.6% stated that they do not observe a formal religion, and 3.8 had a strict observance of a formal religion.
So then I want to go back to Dr. Turner's comment at the beginning when you asked him about question one, where he seemed to tell us, I guess that's his belief, that that since so many people believed in an afterlife was because of their religious orientation, and yet these statistics show that that's not true, because clearly almost half of the people who responded did not practice any formal religion.
Yeah, well, I think it's just a religion definitely factors into it. It's one of the.
I'm sure that it does,
yeah.
But that's not the reason why in this survey. That's not the reason why so many people who responded to the survey were believers.
Yeah.
I mean, at some point, I think just because of the culture in which we live in, a lot of things are assumed to be religious if they are spiritual. And I don't know how to make people understand that those two things are separate, that just because something is spiritual doesn't make it a religious thing.
Right.
But that whole spiritual, if you take all the religions in the world, lay them on top of each other, the only one thing they have in common is spirituality. But just because they all have spirituality in common doesn't mean somebody who doesn't believe in religion can't be spiritual.
Right, and of course, what keeps spinning around my head is what my experience with theology is, that one of the basic precepts of all religions is that, you know, if you follow our guidance, you will live afterwards, and you will have an afterlife. So if people are strictly following a religion, they should be at the top of the list saying, yes, of course, there is an afterlife.
And they're not. They still doubt it.
No, so it's...
Maybe because the directives you have to follow are so bizarre and difficult and challenging, that's why they did... Did I live up to those expectations?
Right. And of course, the people who they meet when they go to their house of worship are telling them different.
Right.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, just to throw it out, when George Bush talks about, going over and killing the people in the Middle East as being a directive of God, and I'm thinking, well, where in the Ten Commandments?
I think there was one that contradicted. Didn't it say, thou shalt not kill?
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, fine if you're president and you've got things to do, but don't be holding up a Bible while you're doing it.
Yeah. Well, again, you know, religion can foster spirituality. There's nothing wrong with religion. It's the dogma that we have a problem with, you know, and also it's kind of interesting, you know, roughly 50% of the people say that they're spiritual versus, you know, religious, and yet we seem to be, to live in this world where there are wars going on all over the planet, you know, based upon religion. So I think that if more people were spiritual, the higher the percentage of spiritual people versus religious people, maybe we'd have a more peaceful society. I don't know.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I believe so, and John Lennon believed so when he wrote Imagine.
Yeah.
So, do you want to take another call?
Yeah, sure.
All right. We have Renee holding on line two, I believe.
Okay. Hi, Renee.
Yeah, hi. How are you? Happy New Year. It's been a long time.
Yeah, how you doing? Thanks for calling. You want to share?
Yeah, I wanted to... Well, you know, I mean, my son left his physical plane almost 6 years ago, and, you know, I've had extraordinary experiences, and that's how I got through it. So I have no doubt that we continue. You know, and I wrote that book, Angel 54, if you remember. It was a little book about, you know, all the different signs and synchronicities. But I got to tell you, it changed. You know, because I think, you know, after we physically pass, it is all about vibration and frequencies and different levels of consciousness. And now I'm really getting, you know, mostly messages from Stephen through telepathy. And also dreams, but dreams where I'm in the dream, and I know I'm there, I don't see myself. And it's almost like watching a movie.
Yeah.
And, I remember it, usually right before I wake up in the morning, and it's my unconscious mind, I believe, or my spirit that's traveling and connecting and, you know, bringing back all these different messages and knowledge. And, you know, it's extraordinary. But, you know, what's really interesting is I used to hear Stephen's voice usually before I woke up in the morning. And then it started getting like he was underwater.
Uh-huh.
It sounded almost like an echo. And now I don't hear his voice, but what I'm seeing is it's almost like writings that I remember.
Yeah.
And a couple of nights ago, when I woke up in the morning, I remember very vividly seeing, you know, it was white, in the white light, "I love you, Mom." Mm. And it was almost like he wrote it. And I remembered it. So, you know, it is about vibration, you know, and I'm very fortunate that, you know, I can go into a meditative state. I mean, I had a kundalini awakening, which is, you know, where all your chakras open, all your energy centers open spontaneously. And because I'm so expanded, it's like my field, my spirit is connecting with the all, with spirit, so I'm able to feel my son's vibration, see his energy, and feel it.
Yeah, and he certainly get through in many different ways. So
in so many different ways, and it doesn't stop. I mean, I think you just have to be open and really believe.
Yeah.
And we all have that ability.
Right.
We really do, because we are spiritual beings, and it's just really connecting, you know, with that soul link.
Yeah, well, it's good for everybody, and just to remain open. And again, I appreciate you you sharing that, and how wonderful that Stephen's able to communicate with you in so many ways.
Well, it's wonderful, and it does continue, and it is almost 6 years. But you know, basically, it does change. You know, the afterlife experiences. I think as they go into higher levels, obviously, it does change. But you have to be open to it, I'm open to it, but, I think it is thoughts. If you put that thought out there, you will receive an answer, and I've gotten in so many ways. And I think his number, which was 54, which, you know, was with him since he was a kid, and his email address, I really believe it's the fourth and fifth dimension, and I think that's what it's all about. I think that's really what we're going into, and, to get through the tough times.
Yeah.
And just connect with our spiritual self and our loved ones when we need it.
Well, thank you so much for sharing, Renee.
Yes, and I hope to see you soon.
Yeah, I hope
so. And have a happy and a healthy.
Thank you. Take care, and thanks for calling.
You're welcome. Okay.
Bye-bye. You know, one of the questions, and Renee touched upon it, you know, she says, setting your intention, and that was one of the questions on the survey. The question number 9 asked the respondents if he or she ever sets their intention by asking a deceased loved one to communicate with them directly. And 69% said yes, and 31% said no. So, of course, the next question would be, I wonder if, you know, out of that 69%, was a greater percentage of people that were successful in getting communication than the ones that didn't. We missed the question. But as I'm looking at it, that's something I know I'm guilty of a lot, and probably a lot of other people are, was that, you know, the simple thing that we can do is just ask, you know, and we don't ask. If you don't ask, why should you get? You know, you need to ask to get. So I think that's kind of interesting. That
always comes up in conversation when we're talking to people who are pretty newly bereaved, or they're just beginning to recognize the signs and stuff. It's, you know, all of a sudden they're getting signs and they're paying attention to it, and now there's more and more and more and more. And then when it starts to slow down, they think that the person's going away. But they never engaged spirit to begin with. They never said,
thank you for the penny, thank you for the blossom, thank you for this, thank you for that, there's no encouragement. It's a one-sided thing. So if you're not going to engage them, you're not going to ask for them to continue, they've done what they had to do, and they're moving on.
Yeah. Now, Melissa, don't look at your notes. I don't want you to cheat. But in question number five, we asked people how many private sittings with mediums that they've had, a private sitting with a medium. So what percentage would you say that people said that they never had a private sitting with a medium?
Never had. Yeah. Well, I'm not good with percentages, but I would have to say people interested in our website
right.
have had sittings. Percentage, though, I can't answer that.
Yeah. Well, the answer is, you want to give a guess, Tom?
No, I'll go with her answer.
The obedience.
There's a prize for the winner.
Oh, in that case, what, 30% said they never...
Well, you're pretty close. It's just short of 39% have never. So quite a number of people. You know, at our various events where we have mediums, and I usually ask at the beginning how many people have never been to a medium, and you get, I would say, by a show of hands, we usually get somewhere around 10 or 15%. So 39% was a little high, you know, more than
I... higher than I would have guessed. I was in my head thinking in the 20s somewhere. So.
Yeah. I was also...
I'm concerned about the 1% saying report that they do one more than once a week.
Oh.
A private reading? You got that? That's a bit much, I would
Yeah. Well, in the first... You know, question, we wanted to find out how many sittings that they've had. So then 39% said they've never had. 12% had one sitting with a medium, which I thought was not surprising. And almost 12% had two sittings. Then 9.4% had three sittings. Almost 11% had nine or more sittings. That's a lot of mediums, nine or more, right?
Yeah.
And the remainder had between, you know, four and eight.
But we're talking about in a year or?
Ever. Then in the next question, we asked, for those who said that they had, you know, sittings with a medium, how often, you know? And then that's when Tom just looked and he said, well, I'm 1% report several times a month. You know, that's kind of...
Well,
we do see that. We do see that in our work here in the office is that, unfortunately, when somebody loses someone, if they don't open themselves up to exploring the unseen world and only seek relief by going to a medium, they easily become addicted to communication from a medium. And so then... there is no place for spirit to communicate directly with them.
Right. I can certainly see it. It's not like I'm saying that, you know, I don't understand that. Because, when you sit and have a reading with a top-notch medium, and they just hit it and hit it and hit it, you get such filled with such a great feeling. Like, wow, this is tremendous. And then you, like you say, you go out the door, and then a day or two goes by, you go back to work, and you all of a sudden you're back in your mundane life, and then all of a sudden, where's that great, great feeling
that I had, right?
And whereas, yes, we are saying that you can get that yourself,
it takes work.
So
and
it's
we're
a lot
in a society
easier, right?
Where people are lazy, and if I can't turn on my
so
Game Boy,
you go back to another medium, and boom, you get the exact same feeling again.
Right.
Unless you hit on a bad medium, see, and then you first have a problem.
And
yep.
Yes, that's true.
And then you know, going down the list, we said a little over 40% said that they go to a medium once every few years. That's about what I expected. You know, that's 40% once every few years. It's logical. Almost 25% have only gone to a medium once. Almost 17% report that they go once a year. Almost 16% say they go several times per year. That's pretty high percentage. 16% go several times a year. And then the rest, 1% more than once per week. There are people that go more than once a week. That's, you know, and
that's
then, and,
dollars.
Yeah.
Yes.
The one of the questions that's interesting, question number 7, we asked people who have been to a medium, private medium session, to characterize the evidence. And everybody in this panel who's a member of our medium certification program will recognize the criteria, because we use the same criteria in part of the scoring when we evaluate mediums. So the category with the highest percentage, almost 30%, described that they received strong evidence mixed with relatively little incorrect information. That's pretty strong.
Yeah.
You know? So, you know, incidentally, the way we do these things, there's a category, the categories are what I just mentioned, then there's another category, good evidence mixed with some incorrect information. And then there's one category, very strong evidence with essentially no incorrect information. Now, that's like the top.
Yeah.
Very strong evidence with no incorrect information. And 17% responded, characterized the medium readings like that. That was a little surprising. The cutoff point is when you describe a mixture of correct information with incorrect information, but there's enough evidence to convince you that there is communication with the deceased being communicated. Now, that is what we use, you know, as the cutoff, obviously, because if it's under that, then the person is saying there's no communication, and if it's over that, then it's stronger. So I guess when you look at all these things, if you add up all the numbers, 87% were above that threshold. So in other words, 87% of the people that went to mediums thought, you know, were convinced that there was communication with spirit taking place. That's a pretty large percentage, especially what we find, right? I mean,
well, in our certification.
Yeah.
However, again, we're talking about people who are taking the survey off of our website, and I am guessing that a lot of them also go to our website for our mediums, and I would have to say that there are several, if not many, of those certified mediums who do hit in that high register of pretty much on the
money. That's a good point. You have to take into consideration the medium pool. I mean, you know, we're going to, so the better the mediums, the higher the percentage would be, so that's a good point.
But you're right, when we do the medium certification and we get four mediums, they're often are three of those who just fall into the lower register of just hitting, sort of hitting in. You know, you can tell that they have abilities, and that's why they came to us in the first place, but you can also tell that they've got a ways to go before they can do it as a business, or that we would recommend them to grieving people.
Right. We also asked people if they practice meditation. It's a simple question. 28% never meditated. 23% rarely meditate. 27% occasionally meditate. 12% meditate often. And 10% meditate regularly. I guess I was 27.8% never meditated. I would expect it to be higher. I mean, there are quite a number of people at least do it once in a while. That's pretty high. That means that roughly 73% of the people meditate, maybe rarely, but at least they meditate. So,
for sure. And David Lynch, the Hollywood director, has a foundation that's trying to get meditation into schools, and he took a troubled school district in Detroit, inner city Detroit, and brought in transcendental meditation and had incredible results. So it's really something that everybody can do and really should do. And from what the meditation I've done, it definitely works.
Yeah, and
Renee was talking about that too.
Meditation.
Keeping hands to communications through meditation.
You're right. I mean, I think that, as Tom said, that's something that maybe we should all try to work in, because so much of what we read, I mean, it's all about getting into an altered state most of the time, you know, and there's different types of altered states, but the easiest one seems to be the most logical one, which is meditation, you know, so it makes perfect sense. So that's something I maybe I got to redo my New Year's resolutions, and that's got to be that's got to be one, you know. So that and spend some time in the psychomantium, I think.
I think you should meditate in the psychomantium, and I've said this before.
Maybe we could begin, even if it's not the gathering, begin every radio show with a meditation that everybody listening in.
But if we put everybody in an altered state, Melissa, nobody's going to listen to the damn show.
5 minutes of dead air.
And those who tune in late will think, well, no show tonight.
We can broadcast from inside the psychomantium.
Oh, let's try that.
Well, I would like to thank everybody for joining us tonight. We will probably, since the surveys are so popular, we're going to devise some new ones, and we look forward to everybody's participation.
Okay, and now may the universe create a channel of healing energy for more participating listeners, sending that energy to those who are in need of recovery of the physical body, spirit, and mind, as we visualize the healing light upon Vicki Steffi, Wendy Lippo, Kathy Ward, Francis Mastracco, Donna Mello, Mark Ferrone, and Eileen.
Eileen LaFata.
Okay.
And let's give energy of love and gratitude to the waters and all the living creatures in Mexico Gulf and all the gulfs by praying like this to the waters, whales, dolphins, pelicans, fishes, shellfishes, plankton, coral, algae, and all creatures in our Gulf of Mexico and all the gulfs and all the waters. I apologize. Please forgive me. Thank you. I love you. That was Matsuro Emoto's prayer back on May 9th, 2010 with the Gulf oil spill. And now it's time to say...
Our loved ones are only a heartbeat away.
And science is going to prove it.
Good night, everyone.